Lifestyle.com.
For Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, I'm Luke Mathers with your headlines. Two more.
Matt Flynn Direct is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy! Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. Now, the first hour, we talked about the good news. Nancy Pelosi has brokered an agreement between centrists and progressives in the House of Representatives on the Democratic side to pass the $3.5 trillion soft infrastructure package being pushed by Joe Biden. It wasn't a substantive vote. This is a procedural vote to permit the ultimate discussion and voting on the substance itself. But in the rules of the House of Representatives, it's very important, and it got passed. The deal is this. The progressives had originally said, we're not going to vote for the hard infrastructure, the $1.2 trillion for roads, bridges, water systems, airports, and broadband, until the other one passes, even the Senate. Well, in the Senate, Kyrsten Sinema and Manchin are pushing back. It doesn't mean they won't vote for something, but it's very much up in the air. So the centrists, about 10 of them, said, listen, we're not going to put up with that. We want to vote on the hard infrastructure, the $1.2 trillion for roads and bridges and so forth. Now, it's already passed the Senate, and go to Biden for signature, and then we'll deal with the other one right away. And the progressives said no, and it was kind of like neither side trusted the other. And Nancy Pelosi took him in a room, cracked some heads, and they agreed, setting the date of September 27, that if the soft infrastructure hasn't passed by then in the Senate, nevertheless, the progressives will still vote. They'll still vote for the hard infrastructure by September 27. That's a month away. And then everybody can point that out as a great success for Biden and for the Democratic Party going into these elections. Okay. So that's where we stand. And frankly, what's going to happen is by September 27, both the hard and soft infrastructure will pass the House. The hard infrastructure will be signed by Biden. The soft one, there'll be a buzzsaw in the Senate. Biden's going to have to crack some heads. He's going to have to crack Manchin and Sinema's heads. Because they are resisting, and here's the deal: as you know, the hard infrastructure got 19 Republican votes. It passed 69 to 30, and it was not budget reconciliation, so it needed at least 60 votes. But the soft infrastructure is opposed by every Republican. It can only be passed by majority vote, and that's if it's budget reconciliation procedure. But you need all your Democrats, and you can't have Manchin and Sinema resisting, and that's what's going on. But there is the devil is in the details. There is a very looming and very dangerous issue under the surface, and I'm going to highlight it right now, and that is the debt limit. And I'm going to give you a solution. The Republicans, 46 Republicans, have written a letter saying they won't vote to raise the debt limit to accommodate this $3.5 trillion soft infrastructure. If they don't raise the debt limit, then the government shuts down. Here's the history very briefly. Before 1917, there was no debt ceiling, but our debt was only about 3% of our gross domestic product. Wasn't a problem. First World War, 1917, Congress said that we could issue, and they did issue, debt instruments, treasury bonds. Then in 39 and 41, with the funding of the Second World War on the horizon and the turmoil in the world, a debt ceiling was passed. And it would be extended from time to time. 74, the Congress would pass debt budgets. In other words, their income would be, you know, let's say $100 billion and they'd be spending $150 billion. That's just an example for the sake of arithmetic. In 1979, there's a guy named Dick Gebhardt. I knew Dick Gebhardt. He ran for president briefly in 1988. He was a congressman from Missouri, majority leader, an excellent guy. He came up with a great idea, a rule, and said this: we don't have to vote to extend the debt ceiling each time, because if Congress votes a deficit budget, implicitly is voting to extend the debt ceiling by that amount. So there's no separate vote. So nobody has to take any heat back home. That compromise lasts until 1995. And then the Republicans, when they got in under Newt Gingrich, stopped that rule. And there were two shutdowns in the mid-90s to try to knife Clinton. They shut down the government. And when they did, the Chinese took advantage of that. It costs us a couple of billion dollars a year, $2 billion a year, every time they do that in increased borrowing costs. In 2011, they pulled it again. The S&P, Standards and Poor's, the rating service, downgraded our debt, U.S. government debt, below AAA. They downgraded it. Our debt, everybody in the world wants our treasury bonds. They're the only secure ones in the world. They downgraded it, $2 billion a year. $2 billion a year is what happened. Now, here's where we are right now. There are accounting tricks you can use. Our debt ceiling was exceeded about 3 weeks ago. So right now, you can't issue any more debt. But we have to, because the deficit from COVID and all that is there. So what is Janet Yellen doing? The Secretary of Treasury, good stuff. She's drawing down cash reserves. Sadly, she is deferring pension contributions to make pension funds solvent. All of this depends on the Congress passing legislation. And you think Marjorie Taylor Greene, Devin Nunes, Lauren Boebert, Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, Matt Gaetz under investigation for trafficking, you think these guys are going to do anything that helps the United States? That is the weakness here. We need the Gephardt rule back. We need the rule that says that if Congress passes a deficit budget, it impliedly consents to raising the debt limit by that amount. Nothing wrong with that. But what do we do? Well, the Republicans will be hard-pressed not to raise the debt limit for the hard infrastructure because 19 Republican senators voted for it. But the soft infrastructure, none of them are behind. It's $3.5 trillion. It's not $3.5 trillion every year. It's over many years, but it's still a lot of money. So stand by. This fight is going on. And in future shows, I have some solutions that I would do if I were Biden and bypass the Congress. It would take a lot of guts, but that's why you elect the president. Going to the lines, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Couple of quick things to Manchin and Sinema. If I'm the president, you might just say, do you want to be the minority party again after next fall? Simple as that, because you're going to see some things happen that really are good. I really believe that if you do this infrastructure thing. But number two, do you think it's going to be as big a day as I do? Rudy's little friend is going to plead guilty today. That Parna is the other one. And I think that this will start the ball rolling on all of this. And we'll watch the flipping begin.
Well, you raised two good issues, and I'll hit them real quick. One of them is, you know, can't we tell Manchin we'll be in the minority? Here's the sad thing about senators. He doesn't care about being the minority as much as he cares about getting reelected himself. He would rather be reelected himself and be in the minority than see us keep the majority and he doesn't win. He is mistakenly thinking that he would be disadvantaged by voting for this stuff. And I don't think he's right. The polls in West Virginia show the other way. There's not a lot of money in West Virginia. You know what I mean? And so everybody in West Virginia is going to be unduly benefited by these provisions, including the Voting Rights Act. including SR1 and HR1 and SB1. Everybody believes in fair elections and no gerrymandering. This is a no-brainer. He and Sinema should vote for these things. Then they'll get reelected. If they don't vote for him, they don't pass, they may not. That's the irony. The second thing is you're referring to Igor Fruman. This is one of Rudy Giuliani's running dogs, remember? One of these Ukrainian guerrillas that, and they got, Giuliani got in a lot of trouble with them too. This guy has been accused of various felonies and he's pleading guilty. That is very bad news for Giuliani and very bad news for a lot of other people in Trump world. Because if you plead guilty, the only reason you do it is to get an accommodation. No prison or very little prison. Nobody wants to go to prison. The only way you avoid prison is you sing like a canary. They will have interviewed him many, many times. And his lawyer will have told him, you better keep it on the up and up, and you better tell the truth, or this will all be torn apart. And this whole deal will be torn apart, and you will end up going to even more prison time. So he'll sit there scrupulously telling the truth and presumably fingering Giuliani, fingering his other running dog and all the rest of them, all of the guerrillas and the thugs over there that did this, that tried to undermine Biden by lying and by playing footsie with the Ruskies. So yeah, Dick Madison's making a very, very good point that there is a consternation in Trump world, just as there were consternation in Matt Gaetz's world when his wingman started to sing and testify and give names and phone numbers and all that. And Gaetz is looking very, 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 very green around the gills. He just got married, trying to soften his image and all this. And but yeah, anytime one of your fellow travelers and running dogs in a criminal enterprise testifies, you know two things. He only did it to save his own worthless skin and stay out of prison. And the price of that is fingering you. So that's not hard to figure out. If we're going to a break, the lines are alive. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. Our lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.